The feeding of the 5,000, the story we've just heard in our gospel reading today, is a story that's found in all four gospels and is an important event in many ways. So much so that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all included this particular event in each of their renderings of the life and ministry of Jesus. But each gospel writer tells the story in his own way. Each pays particular attention to different aspects of the day in which throngs of folks were fed to their fill, even when little or no food seemed available and there was much left over. Today we've heard John's telling of the story, which may be the rendition with which we are least familiar, or that we place behind Matthew and Mark in preferential order. Matthew and Mark are storytellers. They draw us in with their imagery and their skill in weaving the tale. John wants us to understand the depth and breadth of Jesus. He's writing at a later date, some 60 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. John is telling the story from the perspective of time. And because of John's perspective of time, the focal point of the miraculous feeding of 5,000 people shifts a degree to focus more on Jesus and his divine nature. This was important to John, Jesus' divinity. He wanted to make sure that everyone knew that Jesus was not just a healer and teacher. There were tons of those around. He needed to make sure that folks understood that Jesus was not just a prophet or a martyr. There were thousands of those sorts around as well. When John wrote about the life and ministry of Jesus, he wanted to be clear so that the world would know that Jesus is God incarnate, God in living, breathing human flesh, doing something different in the world. When John was writing, there had been a split between the Jews and those who followed the way. Early on, the followers of Jesus were a subset of the Jews. They met in the temple and joined in all the regular feasts and rituals. But after not too long, little squabbles began. And as we all know, little squabbles can quickly become big squabbles. And that's exactly what happened. The Jews were comfortable. The Roman Empire didn't see the Jews as a particular threat. The Christians, the followers of Jesus, were a different lot. They were perceived to be a threat. They worshipped one who had been crucified, who had died the death of the lowest class. They believed that he had been raised from the dead. Christians were a threat to the security. Their beliefs were in conflict with those in power. Because the followers of Jesus made the folks in power uncomfortable, the folks in power did what they did to Jesus. The folks in power shunned the followers of Jesus. They didn't want their power to be threatened, their status to be shaken, so they rid themselves of the followers of Jesus. John, the gospel writer, was writing on the heels of the experience of being shunned and removed from the Jewish temple. And because of his own experience many years after the death and resurrection of Christ, John's perspective on the life and ministry of Jesus takes on a different tone than that of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John's telling of the miraculous feeding of 5,000 is in no small part a theological treatise on Jesus' divinity. Jesus and his friends have sailed across the Sea of Galilee, only to find that the crowd is still following them. The daylight is fading. The people are hungry and need to be fed. There's an exchange between Jesus and Philip about how to feed the mass of people that is gathered. John tells us that Jesus knew all along what he would do, but the other gospel writers are not so clear about that. The result, however, is the same. From 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, 5,000 people are fed, and there are 12 baskets left, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. This is an event of completion. This is an event of wholeness and abundance. For those of us who are privileged to have the experience of abundance, this story is easy on our ears. We have no problem imagining an all-you-can-eat catfish buffet. Catfish, fries, hush puppies, all you can eat. Imagine that none of us here has ever missed a meal except by our choosing. We are privileged. There are many people in our community that do not have the privileges that we have. Over the last week, we held Foothills Day Camp. It was our 4th year, and it was good indeed. I wish that each and every one of you could and would come and see what God is doing through you and Foothills Day Camp. People are being fed. People are being fed literally and figuratively, and both are equally important. Each evening of camp, the staff gathers to discuss the events of the day, those things that we could improve on, and those things that went especially well. We share funny stories and other moments. One evening, a staff member shared that on that day, some campers had taken extra hot dogs at lunch and put them in their backpacks. When the children were questioned about why they were putting those hot dogs in their backpacks, they revealed that they didn't have any food at home. Some folks snickered. Others raised an eyebrow in suspicion because they couldn't imagine that there are children in our town who sometimes don't have food at home. There are. There are children here that do not have food in their homes. And the followers of Jesus have no reason to question why that is the case. The followers of Jesus are called to feed people. And we do feed people. We feed people at Foothills and through the soup bowl. And through our beans and rice ministry, we do feed people, and that is good indeed. And we can feed people more. We are the followers of Jesus. We continue to be called to step out and reach out to all of God's people. Sometimes feeding people literally is what is needed. But there are many ways that our world is in need of feeding. Many people are starving for love. Many people are starving for a word of hope and reassurance. Jesus calls us to feed his people in any way and every way that is needed. In just a few minutes, we will come to the table to be fed ourselves with the bread of life. And we will be strengthened so that we can go out into the world and feed others. Amen.